right, you can take your Bibles, and I'd like for you to turn to a passage that we're going to be jumping around tonight, but I'd like for you to turn to a passage, Isaiah 55:11. It's a promise that God gives. And then I'd like you to also, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here in just a minute. So we'll turn there here in just a minute. We're going through a series on connecting to community's core. We're wrapping this up. And we've been kind of on a mission the last 18 months or so to identify the mission and vision of Community Baptist Church. Some of you were not here 2 weeks ago when we started this little two-part series. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to back up and review for just a minute and kind of get a running start into what we're going to be talking about tonight and identifying, putting onto paper who we are and what we're doing. When I started this project, I was talking about it with some of the men in the church, and there was a little bit of a miscommunication. I think the way that I had come across was that maybe I was wanting to set a new direction for community. And really what we've been looking at doing is saying, let's not necessarily set a new direction. Let's look at Scripture and simply put into words what we're doing. And let's look at Scripture and say, okay, here's what Scripture says. Here's what we're doing. Let's identify what we're doing, what we should be doing, where Scripture says we should go. Why would we do that? Why would we take the time to do what we're doing? One of my ministry mentors, and this is going to be a little bit of review from 2 weeks ago, but one of my ministry mentors said this: if you haven't written it down, you don't really know what you believe. Now, why would he say that? And he said that because when you write something down, you're forced to choose specific wording and to think through what you're going to say rather than just thinking it in abstract thoughts. It's very important that we write down what we believe. That's why we have a church constitution and it has something in it called a doctrinal statement. And that's very, very, very important. Why? Because I went all the way back to 1947 and was looking at the minutes from the business meetings 2 weeks ago, and found the statement in which they incorporated the name of Community Baptist Church. The church voted on it, and they said, listen, we are voting and we are passing the motion that we are going to be named Community Baptist Church. That's in writing. We can kind of have a peek into those meetings. It's fascinating. Some of you, that would bore you to tears. I find that fascinating. You can go back and you can look through these minutes and see what happened. And in 1947, there was a doctrinal statement that was adopted by the church that we still have in place today. And we can hold that statement up and we can say, this is what we believe and this is what we've historically believed. And if there's a person in this pulpit who tries to change what we've historically believed, somebody can stand up and say, that's not true and here's why. Because we've written it down. And it's very important that when we start to identify who we are, that we write these things down. When I was candidating, I met with the pulpit committee, and I was getting coached from another pastor friend of mine who had been through the same process, and he said, you need to make sure that not only does the church want you to be their pastor, it's a very important thing to know, but whether or not you think you would be an effective pastor, an effective leader, and you'd like to pastor that church. And so it's a two-way street. And in those interactions, the question was brought up, you know, what is community's mission? Who is Community Baptist Church? In the discussions, we realized that nowhere was it written down who community is, why community exists, and where community is going. It was all left up to the pastor. And that can be a very good thing if the church is in the hands of a godly leader, but if it's not, it can be a very dangerous thing. So I made a commitment to the pulpit committee at that point. I said, if God would work this out so that I would have the opportunity to pastor Community Baptist Church, what I'd like to do in my first 5 to 10 years of ministry at community is to establish these things in writing and to work through them slowly and to incorporate them into our ministry so that we can come to a conclusion about who we are and why we exist. We know what we believe. But who are we and why do we exist and where are we going? And so for 6 months I worked through Scripture. I worked through several books in regards to church purpose and church philosophy, and worked through some theological ideas and put them down on paper. And 3 weeks ago, we met as a leadership team, and we worked through these concepts. And we changed some of them as a team as we sat around in a group. And there were 22 of us as we sat around in a room with our wives. And we worked through what the mission of Community Baptist Church is. We first established that we have to know what God's purpose is and what God is doing, because we want to reflect that. And then we have to know where we're going. That's our vision of where we're going. And then we need to know how we're going to get there. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at God's mission, and it was to glorify himself, God's purpose, to glorify himself by lovingly calling out, restoring, and reconciling a rebellious people to his image according to his will for his name's sake. God's all about himself. And therefore, we need to align with that. That's God's purpose. That's God's mission. So therefore, God's purpose, God's mission flows into where we want to go, because we want to be an accurate representation of God. And so once we identified biblically God's purpose, it naturally flows into where we should go, where we're going. So what does that mean? That means that we are to be a word-centered church that accurately represents God and his purposes for the world, his purpose. That means that everything that we do comes out of Scripture, by command, by principle. Why do we offer public prayers in our corporate worship services? Because Scripture says, pray publicly, pray corporately, pray for each other, admonish each other in prayer. Why do we sing? Because we get together and we like to sing because we're such good singers? No, because Scripture says, when you get together, sing to each other. Why do we give? Because Scripture commands us to give. Why do we preach every Sunday? Because Scripture commands us to preach, as we're going to see here in just a minute. To exhort, to proclaim the gospel. And all of that comes from Scripture. We didn't just come up with these ideas. This is our handbook. This is God's letter to us. And in that, we need to accurately represent God's mission. God is on this mission. Here's God's purpose. Our vision needs to be to accurately reflect that. A word-centered church. Isaiah 55:11. You can look at that had you turn there. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Friends, can I give you this comfort? That we can be a successful church if we are a biblical church. If we stick close to Scripture, we can be a successful church. And it has nothing to do with numbers. It has everything to do with whether or not we are aligning under God's word. We are to be a word-centered church. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. How are people saved? They're saved through the word of God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. How do we see the power of God on our church? We stick close to the gospel, and it accurately represents God and his purpose. Ephesians 5 is very clear. Be imitators of God as beloved children. How do we do that? Walk in love. Imitate God. Therefore, we need to be an accurate picture of God and an accurate reflection of his purpose. That's where we're going. That still doesn't really tell us who we are, but it tells us where we're going. Here's our vision. What is community going to be 50 years from now if the Lord tarries? Well, it's going to hopefully be a word-centered church that accurately represents God and his purpose for this world. What's it going to be 100 years from now? What's it going to be 6 months from now? What's it going to be a year from now? Where are we going? Let's cast this vision in front of us and say, this is where we're going. That means that we're going to stick close to Scripture and we're going to reflect God's purpose. Now, how do we do that? God's purpose flows into our vision of where we're going, which then flows into our mission. This is what we are doing. Our vision statement is where we're going, to being a word-centered church that accurately reflects God's purpose. That's where we're going, right? Now, how do we get there? What's our mission? Here's where we ended 2 weeks ago. To glorify God and preserve the truth by living the gospel and declaring the gospel together in South Bend and individually where God has placed us. That's our mission. That's why we're here. And when we do this, we move forward in being a word-centered church that accurately reflects God's purpose. So we're gonna we're actually gonna produce a document. We have it, and it's almost ready, that you can actually pick up and you can take to look through this. And after we finish this, it'll be available, so you don't have to write all this down. You can if you want, but we're gonna go phrase by phrase and kind of unpack this with scripture to help us understand how we came up with this mission. Number one, it's to glorify God. If God's purpose and God's mission is primarily to glorify himself, then the first part of our mission is to glorify God. First and foremost, the mission of the church is to glorify God. The mission of the church, first and foremost, is not to make disciples. It's to give glory to God, and part of it is making disciples, as we'll see. But the main purpose of the church is to give God glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and tell you what a wonderful Christian you are, right? So they can see your beautiful singing voice and after the service say, wow, there's a great special, right? So that we can be known as the church in South Bend that does good things, right? No. So that in everything that we do, people will see our lives and give God glory. That's our mission. In everything that we do. Now, what does it mean to glorify God? This can be one of those terms that we talk about, but we don't really put meat onto. What does it mean to give God glory? The word glory simply means to give God weight or to make God's name really, really big. Or to give an accurate representation of, I'll give you this example. As far as I know, there's only one person who's ever had his silhouette put on a shoe, right? And it's a silhouette of this person doing a very specific action, and that is dunking a basketball. And the guy's name is what? Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had to play basketball for years and years and years. I remember going as a kid and watching one of his last games he played in Charlotte. It's incredible. He was playing against the Charlotte Hornets at that time. We went to cheer on the Hornets. He was playing for the Bulls. And you know, the home court goes nuts for the home team. When they announce the visiting team, they try not to make it a big deal. But when they got to Michael Jordan's name, they read it like this. Michael Jordan, just trying to be really undercover. And the place went ballistic. Why? Because his name was really, 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 really big. So big, they put it on. They didn't even have to put his name on the shoe. They just had to put his silhouette, and everybody knew what it was. You can go, I've traveled in India. You go in the middle of nowhere, Africa, and there are people with Air Jordan shirts. I mean, it was a worldwide name at that time. This is the concept. Big, really big. That when people see you, you make God's name really, really, really big. That as a result of us living the gospel and speaking the gospel, that God's name would be huge. That it would carry weight. We do that by giving an accurate representation of God. Why is this important? Because it's the ultimate end of man. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We need to give the right opinion of God. We need to make God's name big in everything we do. And the first part of our mission is to glorify God. So we are to glorify God and we are to preserve the truth. What in the world does this mean? To glorify God and preserve the truth. The church's mission is first and foremost to glorify God. And it has a very specific mission on this earth. Of preserving the truth. What do we mean to preserve the truth? God has taken his gospel, his truth, and he's deposited it into the hearts of every genuine believer. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think that's where I had you turn, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the second one. Let's go ahead and turn there together. Because this really, when we get a hold of this, is a fascinating concept. Perhaps you have something very valuable that's being held in a safety deposit box. Maybe you have a very valuable title or a ring or something that you put into a safety deposit box or into a safe. And God has taken his gospel, his truth, this unbelievable, inerrant, infallible, eternal word, and he's deposited it into you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," this is the same God, "has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies." Think about this unbelievable statement. We have this earthen vessel, the King James says, this jar of clay. It's just a piece of pottery. And in this piece of pottery, there's this priceless treasure that's been deposited, that's been hidden in it. And the pottery then holds value, not because of the clay, but because of the treasure inside. And friends, we, as broken people, as jars of clay, as earthen vessels, have had God's treasure deposited into us. God has trusted his word to us. God didn't trust it to the angels. God could have, in one center section of the world, had his temple and his angels guarding it, where his preserved word was kept, and he didn't trust man to preserve his word, and so he entrusted it to the angels. But he didn't do that. He entrusted scripture, doctrine, truth, the gospel to you and to me, and we have to protect that. We have to preserve that. This is a high calling. This is a huge mission that we have to glorify God, and then we have this treasure that we have to preserve. And we preserve it in a lot of ways. First of all, we guard it. It's deposited into our hearts. So we need to guard this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that's by faith." And some of you that have been coming Wednesday nights go, "Wait a minute. That sounds really familiar." You're right, because it's also in Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. "He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, also rebuke those who contradict it." We have to guard this deposit. This deposit that God's given to us is precious, it's eternal, it's truth, and we have to preserve it, and we do that by guarding it and protecting it. Protecting the truth, standing up and heralding what is true, and speaking out against what is false. I was taking a class on preaching, and the teacher got up and used an illustration that just clicked with me, and I'd like to share with you tonight, okay? If you've ever been in a courtroom, you know that in order to give a testimony, they put their hand on the Bible and they say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and..." Okay, so if you take that concept and you visualize, I'm a very visual person, that's why I do PowerPoint a lot, because it helps me visualize. Hopefully it can help you visualize and see this, right? But that line, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is this thin line. And we have to protect that line. We don't want to go above it. We don't want to go below it. We have to preserve and guard and protect that line. Many people try to go above it and say more than Scripture says. Many people try to go below it say less than Scripture says. And our job as a church is to protect the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's our job, to preserve and protect. So the question is begged, what happens if we do not guard this? Why is this part of our mission? Why is it so important that it's actually at the beginning of our mission? We'll look at Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to what? Contend for the faith that was once delivered for all the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Contend for the faith. And some have taken that concept out and have tried to contend for all sorts of things that are above or below the line. But our job is to protect that line. We protect the truth. We preserve the gospel. We fight for sound doctrine, as we've been looking at in the book of Titus on Wednesday night. 2 Timothy 2, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Look at verse 17. And their talk will spread like gangrene. What a vivid picture Paul gives this young man Timothy as he says, listen, avoid quarreling over things that are not sound doctrine. Among them are two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, either went above or below the line, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They're upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows who are his, those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. We don't have time to exposit this passage, but the point is this. Avoid irreverent babble and arguing about above or below the line. All of us in our lives have things that we are passionate about, but when a church gets off the line and starts this irreverent babble, and as 1 Timothy and Titus say, goes on myths and endless genealogies. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. What happens is that promotes, look at verse 16, the end of verse 16, more and more ungodliness, and this talk that's not sound doctrine spreads like gangrene. You know what? We don't have a lot of gangrene here in North America, but the concept is that part of you dies, and because it dies, it spreads toxin into the rest of your body. And if I understand it right, I know we've got some medical professionals who know this far more than I do, but parts of your body continue to die and continue to poison the rest of the body. And friends, if we let teaching go and we don't preserve the truth of the gospel in this church, there will be strife and dissension and poison that leaches out into our people and promotes more and more ungodliness. So therefore, we must glorify God and preserve the truth. How do we do that? Number one, by living the gospel. To glorify God and preserve the truth by living the gospel. Living the gospel, living the truth, living scripture. Someone told me when I was a teenager, a phrase I'll never forget, you may be the only Bible that someone ever sees. There will be people who never go into a church, but they see you. There will be people who I never get the chance to visit, but you get to talk to them. There are people at your work who will never see maybe any other Christian, but guess what? They get to see you. Because you may be the only Bible that some people ever see. So therefore, it's imperative that we live truth. We live the gospel. And Paul writes to the church of Philippi and he says, only let your manner of life, your citizenship, everything you do be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear that you're standing firm in one spirit, that line, One mind, the line, striving side by side for the faith of the line, the gospel. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it's been granted to you for the sake of Christ. You should not only believe on him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, now hear that I still have. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's his thesis statement for the book of Philippians. We're not going to re-preach the whole book. We did that a year ago. Live worthy of the gospel. Live the truth. And everything that we do, we need to be living the gospel, standing for truth, holding fast to doctrines of God, and holding loosely to the traditions of men, as we've seen. Living the gospel and declaring the gospel. Living the gospel is not enough. It's not enough just to be a picture. We must declare the gospel. Matthew 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go, therefore." He's establishing the mission of the church. Jesus is leaving. The disciples are about to go into this room, and the tongues of fire are going to appear over their head. They're going to establish a church in Acts 2. But he says at the end of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Go and teach and make disciples. Yes, this is a vital part of declaring the gospel. The primary mission is to glorify God. We do that by declaring the gospel and making disciples. So we live the gospel, worthy of the gospel of Christ, and then we declare the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one who is approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do you know your Bible? Do you know why we believe the things that we believe? 2 Timothy 4:2. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing his kingdom, preach the word, mission to the church. Be ready, season, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Preach the word. That's a command to Timothy as the pastor of our church. As the pastor of his church, it's a command to every pastor as a pastor of their church. In our leadership meeting with all of the church leadership, the staff leadership, and the elected leadership, the deacons and their wives, we sat around and we asked the question, how would we know if Community Baptist Church started to become a church that was unbiblical? What are some signs that we would see? What are some tests that we would say, we're going off mission? Here's our mission. We're going off mission. Community Baptist Church is not what it was set out to be. We're not sticking close to who we are supposed to be biblically. And one of the things that came up is if we stop declaring and stop preaching the truth of the Word of God. And the commitment that we've made is that the preaching of the Word of God will be a priority. And in our series talking about the Word of God, we talked about everything from the placement of the pulpit to show that the declaration of the Word of God and the teaching of biblical truths are primary to our mission in declaring the truth. Preach the Word. To glorify God and preserve the truth by living the gospel and declaring the gospel. But we can't stop there. Living the gospel, declaring the gospel together in South Bend and individually where God has placed us. Community Baptist Church exists in South Bend, Indiana. It exists on the southeast side of South Bend. And when we come together, this is where we gather. And it's important that we see as this together, but we also need to recognize that we have people who drive in from many different places. We have people who drive in from Michigan. We have people who drive in from Elkhart. We have people who drive in from Mishawaka and Granger and different places. And so we understand that we need both here. That we come together as a church. And God, in his sovereignty, has given us an incredible piece of property on the southeast side of South Bend, We have so much property, we can't even keep care of all of it, so a farmer helps us, right? We're very thankful for that. Trust me, a lot of men in our church are very thankful that we don't have to go mow all of that and take care of all of that property. And we have an incredible property out front. And if you weren't here for our family fun night, you missed an incredible blessing as we had hundreds of people out in front of our church and a testimony there. And God's placed us here. We should have a burden to plant churches all over the U.S. and all over the world, but we should have a burden right here first. Because if the mothership isn't doing well, nothing else is going to do well. And we have to remember that God placed, he laid it on the heart of a group of 30-some-odd people in 1946 to come out of a church that was theologically liberal and to bind together around solid biblical doctrine in an independent manner. And it was right here on the southeast side of South Bend. And God placed us here. And so we choose to gather here. That means that we choose to live our mission together here. That also means that when we go home, our mission doesn't stop. And some of us drive a quarter mile down the road. Some of us drive a mile down the road. Some of you drive 20 miles. But our mission is always the same. We do it together here. And we do it individually wherever God has placed us. You say, wow, that sounds... You mean I have a response? I don't know that I can do what you just outlined. What you just said, I don't feel like I can do. God hasn't really equipped me for this. Look at this promise in Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, to the end of the earth. What was he promising there? He's promising the Holy Spirit to be present in the heart of the genuine believer. And as a result of the Holy Spirit being present in your heart, you become a witness of God. You become an intricate body part of Community Baptist Church. You become a part of this mission together here in South Bend and individually wherever God has placed us all over, that we come together and we live out this mission. Paul says this, to me, I am the very least of all the saints. His grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages of God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. He's saying, listen, the church is going to wage war on the evil forces of darkness. And it's going to do this by leveraging the word of God. And everyone is going to give glory to God as a result of it. We've said this over and over again, and we're going to repeat it 1,000 more times in the future. If you were to draw a half-mile radius around the church, that means 1 mile circle in diameter, there are over 1,000 homes. And I believe that we're going to give an account for our Jerusalem. I believe we're going to give an account. He says, listen, you're going to be witnesses first of all in Jerusalem, where God's planted you. And then to step out to Judea. And then to Samaria. And then to the othermost parts of the world. And in that, we find a focus for our mission. You could say it this way. Community Baptist Church is responsible to reach South Bend. And you could say the southeast side of South Bend. And then South Bend. And then Michiana. And then the uttermost parts of the world. That's our mission. Together in South Bend and individually wherever God has placed us. You could summarize it and kind of simplify it, if you want, by saying this. That Community Baptist Church exists so that we should live the gospel and declare the gospel together for God's glory. That's what we do. Why do you go to Community Baptist Church? Well, because there I live the gospel and I declare the gospel for God's glory. Why does Community Baptist Church exist? to glorify God and preserve the truth by living the gospel and declaring the gospel together in South Bend and individually wherever God's placed us. That's our mission statement. And it's a mission statement that comes straight from the Word of God, because our vision is to be word-centered. And it reflects God's purpose of redeeming and restoring and reconciling a rebellious people to His image, for His name's sake and for His glory. It all reflects who God is, and that's who we are, and that's what we're doing. And you say, man, that's a lot of work to get into one statement. Yeah, it is. But that's who we are. That's what we do. Why does Community Baptist Church exist? It exists to glorify God and preserve the truth by living the gospel and declaring the gospel together in South Bend and individually wherever God has placed us. Now, that's still what we're doing, is we're kind of getting closer and closer and closer to like action steps, because we still haven't determined how we do that, right? And so what we did as a group is we identified and solidified 8 what we're calling core convictions of our ministry. You could say this is like our mission statement, our vision statement, God's purpose statement, and our church doctrinal statement. And you take all that and you put it in a ball and put feet on it and make it walk. Okay, that's what these core convictions are. It's what we believe in motion. Okay, so the screen's about to get really busy. So this is what it looked like. There are 8 of them, okay? And they are loving God and others, serving our community, leading by serving, and growing in holiness. And those of you that were here for our presentation about what our mission is in the school, and those of you that go to our school should see 4 words in there. You've heard it over and over and over again. Love, serve, lead, grow. That's how we live the gospel. Now, how do we declare the gospel? Well, we do it with sincere worship. We do it with expository preaching. We do it with personal discipleship. And we do it with redemptive relationships. These 8 core convictions is what we're going to be going through, exactly what they are and why we're going to be pursuing these things. Are these the only convictions a church could have? No, absolutely not. But if you've heard the old adage, if you try to reach everybody, you end up reaching nobody. What we've done is we've tried to identify how we believe God would have us focus and accomplish our mission. And we believe by sticking to these 8 core convictions, and as our church grows, as we grow spiritually, as God provides future additional pastoral staff, as God provides funding, we may add convictions, more core convictions as we see fit. But right now, for 2019 in September, these core convictions are where we're going. It's what we're doing. And as a leadership team, we are unified around these convictions, loving God and others, serving our community, leading by serving, growing in holiness, sincere worship, expository preaching, personal discipleship, and redemptive relationships. You say, well, what do those 8 things mean? Well, you're just going to have to come back and find out, because what we're going to do is we have a document that has a paragraph under each one that explains how we're going to accomplish these things and what our mission is. And hopefully, as we connect to the core of our church, what we can do is we can say, okay, here's who we are, and here's why we're doing what we're doing, and so let's step out and let's live the gospel and declare the gospel together for God's glory, and let's accomplish our mission as a church. If you have any questions about this, I'd love to continue to talk to you about it. I am very passionate about that. I spent a lot of time praying over this, and I'm really excited to see how God's going to use this woven into the DNA of Community Baptist Church and helping us reach the lost and helping us disciple those who are saved and edify the body of Christ and preserve the gospel. And I'm excited to see how God will continue to grow each one of us in our hearts. One last word before we dismiss. This is our month of prayer, and so we have one more Saturday in September, and we have more prayer bulletins on the South Welcome Center for this Saturday, so please make sure to remember the time that you signed up for, and hopefully you found that such a blessing to be able to spend focused time in prayer, and I think God's done a wonderful thing in our hearts through this, and so let's finish strong this Saturday as we continue and finish our month of prayer. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way in which you have clearly presented your word to us and preserved it for us and how we can read it and clearly understand it. We thank you for the leadership that you have provided here at Community and the way in which our entire church has been so focused on sticking to Scripture, following the words of Scripture and staying on that line. I pray that you would keep us from the temptation of legalism to go above the line and add to your commands and add to your word. I pray that you would keep us from the temptation of liberalism for below the line and being afraid of what your word teaches and perhaps being embarrassed about truth. That you would protect us from both those errors. That you would help us to know our Bibles, Father, that we would rally around the truth, be passionate about the truth, that we would see your word displayed in our lives, that we would proclaim it with power, that you would bring our church together as we seek to live out this mission together, that you would give us strength and a passion to live out this mission individually as you have ordained the different family members, the different body parts of our church to be spread out all over the Michiana area, living the gospel and declaring the gospel. And I pray that you would use each person in this church as a functioning body part to accomplish your mission. We thank you for the gift of prayer. And I pray as we continue to focus on it this weekend that you would give us a passion to see your word proclaimed, that you give us a passion to see your word digested in our own hearts and in our own lives, that you would make us people who are lighthouses for the truth. Give us grace as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.